And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton, and welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So over the next 20 minutes, we'll go over some ideas, some strategies to help you improve your current investments and to enhance your present or future retirement income. Well, 2022 has been a turbulent, choppy ride so far in the markets. After three highly successful years of double-digit returns, and bumper hay crops, and fill the barns and more, 2022 has been more of a rainy day. Not really great hay weather. More down days and ups so far in the markets. We were down the first 6 months of the year. The bottom point, mid-June, the markets hit an all-time low, inflation high. From that point on, inflation numbers started to level. Still too high, but seemed to have peaked. 8% in June, dropping to 7% in July. Gas prices started to subside, and the housing market cooled off. The overbidding may be coming to an end. A soft landing expected in the fall. But the summer rally recovery could stop cold in the last week of August, as the U.S. Federal Reserve announced more rate shocks, the ultimate goal of reducing inflation no matter what the cost to markets, economy, or jobs in the near term. Now, while price stability is key to economic sustainability, the Fed, changing its tune from transitory to more affirmative, strong medicine to cure inflation while producing several painful side effects. Now, the market recovery will happen. It's just going to take a little longer than originally hoped for or expected in mid-July, anticipating a soft slowdown and a turnabout early in 2023. The U.S. and global will take a bit longer. Canada may be in for a softer landing and a quicker recovery than most. Now, for investors, they just go with their business. Their fund managers, they do all the work for them, all the buying and holding and selling and increasing cash to fixed income and short-term bonds at these times, waiting for opportunities to achieve, again, those long-term growth results. When markets are down, investors have really only two options, two and only two, either buy more of those funds or ignore. Other than that, it's quiet time. Not a lot of hay to put in when it's raining. All the more importance of having good quality funds for when the weather is favorable, like the previous 3 years, your funds pack a lot of growth and hold stable when the storm clouds threaten and then blow away. And through all the daily ups and downs, the weekly, the monthly, you pull a string or a straight line across a five-year margin to the right-hand side of that chart, it's always higher. You stand back and observe all the jigs and jags, it's a straight line. Take Fidelity American, for example, down from the start of this year, down by 15% by mid-June. Back up a bit, heading into September, but last year returned 23%. In 2020, the COVID year, it returned 14%, and in 2019, 24% return. That's a 60% accumulation growth in just 3 years. Now, back in 2018, when everything was sold off, that fund was minus 4. So over a five-year span, that is a 9% average. But none of those years did it ever produce a normal 9% an average year. That has been the markets for the past 5 years. You throw in a COVID pandemic and shut the world down for a while, you'll get that volatility. Yet through all the jigs and jags, it is sort of a straight line, still a 9% annual return. So when was the last year that this fund actually had a normal year around 9%? It was 2017. The fund made 9.76. Now, the 5 years previous to that, Fidelity American in 2016 was minus 2. That was the year of the Trump-Hillary election. It made 16% in 2015, 20% in 2014, and 37% return in 2013. So you have to go back another 5 years. 2012, the fund returned a normal 8.58. There were no major events in 2012 or 17, so boring is fun with investing. In 2012, 10 years ago, the Dow finished the year up around 7.25%, ranging from 12,000 to 13,000. This year, the Dow started at 36, fell to 29.5, and has hovered around 31,000 most of the time. That's quite a range, close to 7,000 points. In 2017, the Dow ranged from 18,000 to 21,700. So as the years go on and the markets hit higher numbers, the volatility increases. From the start of January of 2020 to now, we've seen the Dow range from 19,000 to over 36,000. 17,000 points in 2.5 years. Expect that to continue, but the same fundamentals apply and have for decades. Invest in quality, well-managed funds. Ignore or buy more when low. Diversify. And don't jump off the train when it's backing up. For ahead, in the journey, there will be times and opportunities to reallocate, take profits, and lock in gains. So for the past decade, only two of the past 10 years were normal, 9% or so. Fidelity American, up until the end of August, has returned so far still at 11% annually. That's above normal. 9% for the past 5 years is really above normal. However, that was the going rate. Housing prices were above normal for the past 2 years, all of which will come back down a little bit. It's great to own those funds, ideal if you're selling your house the past year. Now, those funds going forward probably be more in the 6% range. In the housing market, I'm not sure. That's not my expertise, but making money for clients is. But with all the ups and downs, double digits 1 year, minus the next, a 6,000-point differential in the stock exchange in just 1 year, wouldn't it be kind of nice to have a few normal years strung together? Well, they may not be guaranteed, but a highly probable outcome. Just get us some nice, normal returns, 6 to 7% per year, every year, for a number of years. An alternative to this up and down, funds that are kind of steady, kind of boring, to a degree. They pay out regular income or grow at a reasonable pace every year. An alternative to this increasing volatility. There are such funds that have produced rather steady, normal returns for most of the past decade, including this year. Something you might want to add a bit to your investment plate. We'll be back to look at this item. Item number 3 in the menu, right after this break.
Knowing which investments that outperform and that are suitable to your goals and needs can be overwhelming. Understanding the advantages of growth segregated funds and or market linked indexes might have over balanced mutual funds could benefit your investments now and for estate planning later on. Diversifying part of your portfolio in private equity funds could have a significant impact on your retirement income. On your Financial Destination show, we'll discuss these strategies and more to enhance your retirement income.
And we're back. Item number 3 on the investment menu, the private equity income alternative funds. Number 1 are the seg funds. Item 2, the guaranteed market linked. Both different, yet both are invested in the open markets. By far the majority of investments are in open markets, your stocks, your ETFs, mutual funds, seg funds, bonds, and so on. There's a constant flow of money in and out, unlimited really. And no 2 years are ever the same in the open markets. No 2 days are ever the same in the open markets. It's always a moving target. The tide's always coming in or going out. Now, an alternative for some may be to diversify some of their investments into private markets, which are not as directly involved in the daily price fund changes, not correlated to the market swings. You don't get that emotional roller coaster open market ride. A good private equity fund is really boring. And the more boring it is, well, the more you benefit. Private equity or income funds, one of the fastest growing options for some investors over the past 10 to 15 years. In fact, many open seg or ETF funds are now adding portions of alternative funds in their lineup. Private equity funds are closed-end funds that are considered an alternative investment class. Because they are private, their capital, their holdings are not listed on a public exchange, so a little less knowledge. Kind of a limited club for members only. But some of their information is listed on their websites. But before you invest, you want to see a market specialist to determine suitability, so you become more knowledgeable, the risk and rewards. Good for many investors, but not for all. That's why there's always a range from zero, I don't want any of it, to maybe up to 20% of your portfolio. An over-allocation over all of your investments. Now, at one time, these funds only allowed high net worth individuals and also a variety of institutions to invest, large companies, pension plans, both government and corporate, the teacher's pension plan and our very own Canada pension plan, looking for a bit more predictable returns, less volatility in their pension incomes by directly investing in and acquiring equity and ownership in certain companies. The minimum to get in at one time used to be $150,000 just to get in. Now it's $10,000 to $25,000 for most. It's a one-time lump sum. It's not something you can do $100 a monthly investment idea. Now, private equity funds can be in RSPs, they can be in your tax-free, they can be outside, as many are very tax-efficient, the real estate funds. They can be great for your LIRA and for your RIFs as you begin to withdraw retirement income. The returns can either compound and grow, or you can take the returns as cash almost every month, leaving the principal intact. That is their purpose. Private equity funds really became prominent and available to the average investor after 2010, after the 2008 housing bubble market crash, as open markets fell about 40% back in 2008, leaving a lot of investors full of panic and losses. Yet private funds were profitable back then, making 10% or more per year. So the rich got richer, and the poor, or the not as rich, I guess, got poorer to a degree. That's why since 2010, there have been two large shifts in investing. One, the segregated or seg funds. As baby boomers and older clients, the largest population base with the most money looking to invest, growing with a safety net that seg funds provide. Now, private equity does not have the guarantees that seg funds provide. Can be more at risk, which I'll detail a bit more in a moment, but can provide that rather predictable return, those annual returns, more of a straight line. So to compare, the open funds, you can invest a little each month, switch, add more each month, withdraw sometimes, not always at the right times, but you can. It's very open. The returns vary, you bet, from minus to plus, sometimes in the very same year. Private funds are like big cargo ships. They load up with investors, and they set sail, basically one speed and one direction. Think of the old PEI ferries. You gotta wait for a while, you load on so many cars, say 100 cars, and you wait, you invest, and then you get on. The rich people in this case might bring on 5 cars, and you're allowed one, but it's still full after 100 cars and off you go. Private funds raise a certain limit. Maybe they want to raise $30 million. Could be real estate funds, from apartment rentals to student housing, industrial, warehousing, commercial buildings, land or water development. They could be involved in corporate loans, mortgages, oil reserves, government tax credits, or simply acquiring profitable companies and not listing them. It could be dental or medical facilities, retirement homes, a long list. But not listed, and you can't buy their stock, but you can receive distributions from their profits. Private funds look to raise a bit of capital. They invest, and once they hit that target, they close the doors and they sell off. So they're not always available. So investors on board might wave at you as you wait on the dock as they sail away. If you miss one, most likely they'll send another ship in a few months to look to raise more money. While invested on board this cargo ship for the next several years, often there's a set speed. And returns are often around the 6 or 8%, called distributions, similar to a stock's dividend, but they're not guaranteed. Highly probable, but not guaranteed. In the previous decade, many of these funds had distributions in the 9 to 10% range or more. Most of these funds this decade have now lowered those distributions to the 6-7 range due to a changing economy, primarily due to COVID. So everyone gets affected, but some are more impacted, and some not so much. In the first half of the last decade, some funds failed. Less scrutiny, but now with better regulations, financial security requirements, they've evolved, leading to less entries, but success is never for certain. Private equity funds are not immune to the economy. You could loan millions of dollars to different companies, and most of them will pay you back. But if most of them can't pay you back due to severe recession, that could be a problem. These private equity cargo ships, relatively boring route, in a few years at docks. So most funds have a holding or investment time frame of 3 to 5 years. You can't get off early. You can't jump in your car and halfway through and take a hard right and drive because you're going to drive right into the ocean. You have to stay on board. It often takes 6 months to retrieve or redeem your investments. So it's not an investment where you can cash out quickly. I need that money back by next Tuesday. Those now looking for their money for next spring would put the order in now. And sometimes disembarking or redemptions can be delayed, as the ships may require you to stay on board until other passengers or investors get on, needing a nearly full ship. They're still paying you your 6% or whatever it might be, but you're not able to cash in entirely right at this moment. Now, most times you can, but that sometimes, maybe not. So again, private funds are additions to your investment plan, not the main course. However, like cargo ships, yeah, most make it back and forth, time after time, year after year, good, steady returns. A few private funds have run aground, and some have sunk with it. Investors' money. Not many, but a few. Like any business, there's always a few losers, but by far, a lot more winners with several years of strong performance in that 6 to 8% type range. And that's what you see every year, not an average of plus 23 one year followed by a minus 4, but a string of consecutive sevens. Again, you'll need to speak to a market specialist to find out more. Okay, we'll be back to wrap this up right after this.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you change to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:15 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
Welcome to your Financial Destination Show, an educational investment series hosted by Roger Hamilton, featuring strategies to enhance your retirement income. During his 10 years as a financial advisor, Roger has provided sound advice on how to improve personal investments to hundreds of people, many of whom are Seaside FM listeners. To discuss how to improve your investments, email Roger at roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
Okay, we're back. So if you have sufficient income where you won't need to cash in your investments too soon, if you have an average of, let's say, $400,000 to invest, could be less, could be more, and most of that already is in open funds or something else that you've already invested in, and you're already happy with that, then perhaps 10, 15, maybe 20% of that $400,000, 40 to 80K, 60,000 total maybe, could be placed in alternative funds, a choice of two or three. You don't overload on these private funds, but if you're seeking a reasonable source of additional growth and or income to your portfolio that doesn't move so dramatic, the private funds would be a consideration. This year, while markets have been down 10%, having 10 to 20% of your investments up 7%, just like it was last year and for the past several years, it's reassuring. And last year, while earning 20% in their open seg funds, talk to clients. Let's take advantage of that profit surge and lock some of it away at 7% in the future. The clients would ask, well, why would I do that? My funds are doing 20%. Why would I take it at 7 right now? Well, you'll see, I don't know when, but those double digits will come down. And that boring 7% will look rather exciting someday. Well, here we are today. So you lock in those gains beforehand and not the losses afterwards. And there'll be more opportunities on the journey ahead on the investment terrain to do that, opportunities. So we thank you for listening in this morning. We trust you learned something you can use to gain knowledge and increase your returns. This show will be on my website in a few weeks. You can visit yourfinancialdestination.ca. We also play these shows, it'll be played again in the fall. We like to play these shows at least twice. So the next time you hear it, it'll be probably around November. It'll sound a bit like September, but it'll be November. You can call 902-499-5879. This is Roger Hamilton. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.